So you roll up at a dinner party, maybe family and friends, and they're like, oh, Anne, what do you do for work again? How do you explain to people what you do?
Yeah, it's my nightmare question. I recently played tennis with two slightly older ladies who asked me exactly that question, and I tried to say my one sentence of, well, we help our clients translate their strategy into how they organise their people, their capabilities, and their work. And one looked at the other and she said, I really wish I knew what she was talking about, but I don't.
Well, welcome to the Org Design Podcast. My name is Tim Brewer. I'm joined by Damien Pramanis, co-host. Today we have Anne Green. Anne is from Alaghi in Dublin. We are at the EODF conference in Milan, Italy. We've had a wonderful time, all kinds of very interesting org design experts. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about her experience. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. Ciao, we should say.
Ciao.
And maybe start by sharing with us, how long have you been in org design for?
Well, Alaghi was started in 2005, so we're 19 years old. Alaghi is a Greek word that means change, and we've always been about change and helping our clients to achieve more, better, more effectively, quicker, whatever it is that they want. Over the years, we've narrowed down into org design, and probably for the last 5 or 6, it's really been all that we do.
Did you always want to do org design at school? Like everyone else, like, oh, I want to be a scientist, I'm going to be a police officer, I'm going to be a doctor, and you're like, I'm going to do org design.
No, I did want to be a scientist. Oh. I did originally do science when I left school for a while. So it is interesting because as I've grown up, I have found my place, found my joy, and I've thought a little bit about why is it that I love this work so much. And genuinely, it sounds really twee to say it, I don't have that Sunday night feeling of dreading Monday morning. I get up and there is no day, even the challenging days, even the days I know are going to be tough, and even the days that are tough, still feel good. I enjoy them. And I think a big part of the reason for that is that I am originally a scientist, an engineer, taking stuff apart. How does it work? How do you put it back together? And I love puzzles. And I think that's what org design is. And then the scientist in me goes, well, it's not, because like maths has an answer. It's right or it's wrong. Org design doesn't have one answer. And it can never be perfect. That's another lesson I always start with, just setting clients' expectations. There is no perfect org design, but there is good. There can be really bad org design. So I think that what I love about the puzzling is working with people together, people, clients who know their organizations, know their business, know their market, their clients, their service users, and them bringing that to the table, us bringing a process, a way of thinking, a challenge, a questioning, and together figuring out the puzzle and creating the answer that will work for them. And then looking at where it's not perfect and saying, how do we mitigate for that?
You said that there can be organizations that are poorly designed. For a leader listening to the podcast who's thinking, I think I might have an org design problem, what kind of symptoms do you see consistently to say there could be an org design problem at play?
Yeah, it's a great question, because nobody comes along and goes, we have a really bad org design. But people might find that they have things like slow decision making. Mm-hmm. That can be a result of having either too many layers in the organization, so there are too many step points or decision points, and it slows everything down unnecessarily. It can be about not having the right kind of coordinating mechanisms between the verticals, the functions, or the silos, use whatever word you want, that disables people from collaborating well. Mm-hmm. You'll often find conflicting or misaligned priorities between functions or divisions or sections of an organization. And again, that can be about the design, the work being bounded in ways that don't really work for people to collaborate who need to. Information flows not really working, people not getting the information that they need, where they need it, when they need it, to enable them to deliver as a collective. And one of the challenges we're often given is we talk to clients about what is it you'd like to achieve in doing this work, and they say we'd like to eliminate silos. And, you know, most, I won't say all, but most org designs, they deconstruct some silos and they create different ones. You don't solve that kind of issue like those I've described around decision-making information flows or lack of collaboration or competing priorities by restructuring, because you're just going to create different verticals or different silos. What you really need to do is think about how you make the walls of those verticals porous so that stuff flows between them.
Mm.
So poor org design or inappropriate org design often manifests in those kinds of issues. So the thing just doesn't work.
Mm. I love the talk of silos, because that's something that I hear a lot from leaders around the world, is silos are our problem and we really need to eliminate these silos. How should people be thinking about silos as what is good, what is bad, what is something that they should be aiming to achieve?
Again, I think it starts with strategy. Where are you trying to go? And what is most important that you achieve? And that sounds really obvious, but a lot of people don't start there. We had this dilemma number one, which was about do people follow strategy, or do we design for the people that we have and the capabilities that we have? And that's a really real dilemma, because unless you're starting with a complete blank page, you have a certain amount that you have to work with. But it does not just go without saying that everybody, of course, starts with strategy. We often find that we go in to ostensibly to do a piece of org design work and discover that there's a real lack of alignment around the strategy and the priorities before we start. And so we have to go back there, because otherwise it's just finger in the air, I'm taking a guess. And let's hope that we land in the right place on our org design. So in thinking about the silos to me are simply representative of kind of buckets of work, capability, and people. And it's back to the analogy of the wardrobe organization.
The wardrobe organization analogy was part of the pre-chat in this interview. I have added it here for you to listen to.
Yeah.
So when I talk to brand new clients or people who ask about this work, one analogy I often use is, have you ever done a kind of a wardrobe reorganization? Mm-hmm. Have you ever just looked at your wardrobe gun, it's a mess, I'm pulling out everything? So imagine you go in your room, you look at the wardrobe, it's a mess, pull out everything, throw it on the bed. Now, bear in mind, you now can't go to bed till you finish this. How are you going to put the stuff back? How are you going to organize putting the stuff back? Any ideas?
I just find it incredibly difficult, and I just go for exactly what I feel most comfortable in, which for me is like board shorts and a t-shirt. Now, for all our listeners, it's not appropriate in most business contexts to roll up in thongs and board shorts to most business meetings. Some maybe, like in Bali, but
thongs does mean something a little bit different.
Flip-flops for our Americans. Flip-flops.
You've just given me an image I'm never going to get rid of. But
I'm so sorry.
I gotcha.
Sorry, Grandma and Mum, but I have made that mistake before and they get super confused. Yeah. So I appreciate you clarifying that for me, Dame. So I do find when working on my own wardrobe, to use an analogy, it's really, really difficult to think through that in the same way as I would someone else's.
Okay. What about you, Damien?
I would put myself in the mindset of, I'm in a hurry, it's first thing in the morning, so that's the time where wardrobe organization would be most critical. And so I'd say, what do I need to make really easy to access where I don't think about it? I'll just put that front and center. I would figure out the top few things, the fail-safe items, and just drop them front and center, and then I would start packing all of the rest away, stacking lesser and lesser worn and less important things right at the back and the bottom.
Okay, fantastic. So you've got some criteria for how you'd organize it, because you're thinking about what do I need to use it for?
Yeah, I would think about my lived experience and of future me and try to make future me happy.
Great, I love it. So when I ask that question of people, they often kind of say, oh, well, I would put all my tops, all my trousers, all my skirts, all my jackets. So that's by category of item, right? Other people would say, well, I put all my whatever season it is, I'll put that, you know, most closest to me, and maybe the other stuff goes more to the back. Somebody else might say, I organize by all my sportswear in one place, all my workwear in one place, all my leisure wear, all my lounge wear, that kind of thing. So kind of by activity. Somebody else might say, I sort by colour, hang all my stuff in different colours. And somebody else might say, I put my what fits me right now and then my one day stuff more at the back. So which of those ways is right? Which of all those ways of organising your wardrobe do you think is most right?
I don't know if it depends on the person and how they access and work with their wardrobe.
The answer is, of course, that all of those ways could be right.
Mm.
Okay, depending on what you need to do. So in your case, Damien, you said, well, I would look at what do I need to access because I know I'm going to be in a hurry. So therefore, my chosen way of organizing would be to put the stuff I need most at the front. If I were someone who had a visual impairment, I might say, I'm going to sort it out by color, because then if I know all my dark stuff is over here, all my lighter stuff, my brights are together. But somebody else might want to have, I want all my work wear together because I want that separate because I wear really different stuff on the weekend than I do at work. So the answer is it depends. It depends what you want to use it for. And that's the first lesson of org design. Org design is simply about taking what you have, the work you need to do to deliver your strategy, and looking at how you could best organize it. You're going to probably find that you have several options in that space, and you need to decide which one is going to be best. And so the very first lesson of org design is know what you need to use it for. Know what you need it to do for you.
And that is the end of the wardrobe analogy, and back to the conversation as it was before.
Is what org design is. It's about how we group activities or work and capabilities and people to deliver what we're trying to do as a business, as an organization, whatever we are. And that's where you have to identify what are these coordinating mechanisms that we can put in place to make that work.
Can you give an example of a coordinating mechanism?
Yeah, so if you find that the way that you're organized means that certain people work, let's say, in certain divisions or functions within the organization, and therefore the place in which they live and are given their day-to-day direction to execute their work is within that vertical and doesn't enable them to be together. One alternative is to create a formal structure where you put those cross-functional teams or people, roles, together. What would you achieve with that? They'd work together. You'd have more of a cross-functional piece. But if that's not an option, you can create an informal kind of structure like a cross-functional working group that meets X number of times a week, a month, a year, and comes together to solve those questions.
I know you've been doing org design in Ireland for many years. How would someone listening to the podcast know they're a really amazing fit for your organization? What are your favorite companies to work for, where you get the biggest results?
I think maybe rather than favorite companies to work with, it's favorite people to work with.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that we bring a process challenge and our org design expertise to the piece. But every organization is different. And we do sometimes get the question, what's best practice for this industry? It's somewhat irrelevant as a question because it's really about what's going to be fit for purpose for you, for what you're trying to do. Because even if we know, even if we've done work with 5 not-for-profit organizations or 5 financial services organizations or 5 life sciences organizations, they're all different. They all need different things. They're all governed in different ways. They're set up in different ways, and they're trying to do different things. So we bring a process and an org design expertise, but we work then collaboratively with our clients, and we rely on them to bring that really deep, detailed knowledge of the organization itself and what it needs. And together, we can come up with the prototype that works for that organization. So it's less about the types of companies, though I said earlier. What we really love to work with are people who are curious. Curious is one of our corporate values. It's really important. You have got to be curious to do this kind of work. You've got to be prepared to explore and to not shut down too quickly, to live with a certain amount of ambiguity and lack of structure, ironically enough, in the process and be prepared to go where it takes you. You've got to be open and really genuinely open. I think Liz yesterday, one of our speakers at the conference, said she thought that she was really open and transparent, but found there was significant challenge as she went through the process in actually really what that meant and felt like for her. And there is challenge in that. So we want people to be truly open, people who are authentic. I sometimes look at this and I go, at the same time, we want to have a bit of fun. It's a bit of a balance, this work, between science and art. It's structured and it's process-driven, but it's also creative to a degree. We want to have a bit of fun. No huge catastrophe will happen if we get something wrong. We will never go so far wrong that the organisation will come crashing down. So let's kind of enjoy it.
And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been really, really enjoyed it.
Damien, Rory, thanks for coming on the ride with us today as well.
One last question, Anne, before we go. If people are interested in what you've been talking about today or would like to get in contact, what's the best way for them to learn more or reach out to you?
Yeah, sure. They can go and visit our website. That's alagi.ie. They can look me or my colleagues up on LinkedIn. We love to hear from people, love to hear their challenges and have a conversation and see if we think we can help.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Anne. It's been really great to get into the brain of an org designer today. We've learned about puzzle solving. We've learned about curiosity. We've learned about how to organize a wardrobe. And maybe you don't want to put it all in one big box, but silos might not be too bad. And had some great conversations along the way. So thank you so much for your time.
See you, everyone.